from the tech crew. Today, I'd like to continue asking the question, what role you believe you're required to present yourself as you present yourself before God as an end-time servant. And last time I left off, I worded this differently, but the last time I left off with this simply, do you believe God is looking for first fruits to be either meek or prideful? Obviously, we understand we want to be meek. And going through the second tenet we covered last time, another tenet of Christian character, we were asked to practice. Have we been asked to practice vigilance? Have we been asked to be watchful and sober-minded? And it's been a long time since we've covered those, since I've spoken, so I thought I'd just refresh you on those two points. The title of this sermon today is The Tenets of Christian Character. I'm going to continue it, but what God is looking for from a first fruit. And that's the ambition. That should be all of our ambition at this point. And as we get into the sermon, the topics today, we'll understand, we are trying to become a complete Christian. Not just some tenets of Christianity. We're trying to become a complete Christian where we are covering all the tenets. And we're coming before him with the right attitudes and the right orientation. So that brings me to the topic today. One of the points is this. Point number one. Do you believe patience is a tenet of Christian character? Patience. Understand what patience is. I actually looked it up to get the Webster definition of patience, and it just simply means the capacity or habit or fact of being patient. I'm going to go a little bit deeper into that today. Let's turn to Romans. Let's open with Romans 5. Romans 5. And begin in verse number 2. Romans 5 and verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. We glory in the tribulations, the things which we are presented, the obstacles we are presented, understanding we're getting refined and we're getting tested. And that is totally contrary from what you understand in the world today. Knowing that tribulation, Romans 5, verse number 3, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience, experience. And experience worketh hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, but because the love of God is shed abroad in the hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. Ask the question, is patience a tenet of God's Holy Spirit? You think about it. Tribulation. We are to look forward to these trials we go through. And it's very difficult to do that and keep your head up and keep a positive orientation, isn't it? But as we go through these trials, we are to understand God's refining us. He's testing us. He's proving us. That's something that we need to focus on. You know, the word synonymous with patience, forbearance, long-suffering, sufferance, and tolerance. Forbearance, long-suffering, sufferance, and tolerance. These all have attributes which attribute to patience. Continuing in Luke, the book of Luke, chapter 8. Luke 8 and verse number 8. Luke 8 and verse 8. As we pick up on this, the sower, the parable of the sower, this isn't complete, but we get the gist of this parable by what Christ tells us and explains to us. And the other, picking up in verse 8, the other fell on the good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried. Think about that. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples spake unto him, saying, what might we ask for this parable? And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Do you, brethren, do you understand? That's a question we need to ask. Have you not been catechized? Have you not been brought to a point to where you understand what type of orientation you are to have? What type of orientation you are to come before God with? That's the point. Have we missed that? Are we so much hung up on ourselves that we miss the type of individual God is trying to make pliable within ourselves? Verse 11, now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, and then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and they should be saved. How many times have we seen this take place in our lifetimes? Continuing in verse 13, and on the rock, they which were, when they hear, receive the word with joy. They're excited about it. And these have no root. For a while, believe. And in time, they fall away. Temptation. How many times have you seen this? Are these elements contributed in the lifetime, your lifetime? And that which fell among the thorns were they that have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, they keep it, and they bring forth fruit with patience. When you apply the words long suffering, forbearance, sufferance, and tolerance, this is a lifelong struggle. This is what it's saying. It's not something that, as the world, Satan has been very decisive. We need it now. People aren't willing to wait for God's truth. They're not willing to work for it. So many individuals fall short because there is no patience. There is no forbearance. They don't have long suffering. They're not willing to put forth the effort. That's something pretty substantial to understand. The word patience is translated from the word hupomarai, meaning being steadfast, having consistency and endurance. When you look into the Bible, what does it say about patience? Is this a tenet? Is this a tenet of Christian character? Are we required to have patience, brethren? Galatians 5 and verse number 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. The word again, long-suffering, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, which is self-control. Against such, there is no law. So Paul brings it up as he adds to some of these verses we read here. You got to think about it's a fruit of the Spirit. We should have, is what it's saying, as you understand these words, we should have maturity. And we should have our maturity take place within the Word so we understand that not everything is answered right away. Not everything is done as Satan expounds on it to be. We want our cake right now. We want it as a two-year-old child. Individuals have the orientation, I want it now, and they skip the mature principle of understanding the fluency of what's grown by patience. Are utilizing this trait. Hebrews 12 and verse number 1. Hebrews 12 verse 1. Wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. How do you run with patience? This is a character building experience. Have you lived it? Do you understand it? Or do you want things as they're presented to you now? Looking into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, or split limb, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. But ye have not yet resisted unto blood the striving of sin. Talking about the race, as Paul acknowledged, I have ran the race. Did Paul in his lifetime? So many things to consider here as we talk about maturity. We walk through our lives, and some things we find distressing, other things we just let simply go. As we mature, as maturity embraces us, we understand these are biblical truths as well. If you find something that you won't trade in, you find something that as you place your treasure in heaven, you think about the obstacles. What type of obstacle could Satan offer you that would make you trade in the opportunity of being a servant of the eternal God? As we look at these verses, patience is an attribute. Obviously, it's an important attribute we have to learn. As we look at the quality and the maturity that you actually have to have as you grow in God's Word, you got to ask yourself the question simply, what else, if not obedience to God, what else is there? Pick this up in Colossians 1. I've got a lot of verses to cover. I need to get moving here. So, Colossians 1 and verse number 9. Colossians 1 and verse 9 simply stated, "For this cause also, we since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you and desire that which be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, and being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness." You got to ask yourself the question, have you been told you're in a period of overcoming? Have you been instructed there will be a crown at the end of this life if you live it properly? You've been instructed for a reward. There's so many things to talk about here, but you have to have patience in your ensemble or your war chest if you're going to be an overcomer, if you're going to have the endurance you need to be called a child of God. James 1, and verse number 1. James 1 and verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye have fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let your patience have her perfect work, and that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If you lack wisdom, let him ask. If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. He gives it to men liberally. You think about, this says a lot about maturity. How many times have we partaken of the Passover each year? How many times have you partaken of the Passover and have never committed a sin the year before? How many times do you not need to partake of those symbols or tokens? This is a period of overcoming. If we're not in a period of overcoming, it's a lifelong struggle. We don't understand the applications, simply, that these traits or tenets mean to us in our lifetime. How many times have you been irritated with a brother? How many times have you listened to something that you shouldn't have given any time to? How many times have we fallen short and have had to pray to God to help us through the issues at hand? As we face, as we come up to the spring feast, these verses are very apropos. We all fall short. Romans 5. Romans 5 and verse number 8. Romans 5 and verse 8. But God commendeth his toward love towards us, that in that, while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. We drop down to verse number 12. Wherefore, by one man sin entered the world, entered into the world, and by death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all, we all fall short. We all have sinned. This is a period of overcoming. That's the simple point here. You require patience because you understand you're in a period of overcoming. How many times have you seen individuals become depressed and throw in the towel? How many times have you seen people compromise? How many times are we seeing people cause division or discord and try to justify their behavior? Brethren, we're in the race of our lives, simply stated. And that's what's being stated here as well. And we need to be patient. And sometimes as things go the way you want, or sometimes as the way things go the way you don't want, we need to be patient and understand this is the race of our lives. Psalms 37, the book of Psalms 37, and verse number 3, Psalm 37:3, trust in the Lord and do good, so shall thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Psalm 37 and verse number 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself, because in him who prospereth in his way, because of the wicked, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. You think about the life study or the lifelong ambition. Do we go about life wanting to hurt people? Do we go about life condemning? Do we go about life wanting to cause dismay or discord? That's not the tenet we're looking for. That's not a tenet we're about to speak about in the second portion. You got to ask the question, are you an impatient person? That's not a trait that God looks for. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4 and verse number 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. My course, if you replace those words, is I have finished the race, is what it's stating. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that time. And not only to me, but to all, unto all of them also that love his appearing. And do thy diligence to come unto me shortly. For Demas has forsaken me and has loved the present world and departed, etc. I wanted to add that last verse just to show you. How many times do we find ourselves in the place of having to be steadfast and holding on to the truth when we find ourselves with individuals that have removed themselves? This is a lifelong battle. Patience is a requirement. It's a tenet. Do we understand that? How many times do we see people falling off or falling short and don't heed that warning? It's a question we need to know. How many people have you known stopped attending church because they have gotten either distraught or distracted by the cares of this world? How many people have you known have been tied up with either a they've either gotten tied up with work, sports, or a loved one and been distracted? You got to ask, has our foundation changed? The truth hasn't changed, brethren. And neither should our foundation have changed. We were called to a truth. We were all held accountable at one point. How far off are we, or how much compromise will we allow in our lives to lose what we have been given? First Thessalonians 5. First Thessalonians 5 and verse number 5. Ye are the children of light. Ye and the children of day. We are not of night. We're not the children of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us be watch and be sober. Verse number 14. We can read all this, but verse number 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient towards all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. You got to ask yourself the question, have you ever found fault with someone? Are you an individual that looks at a brother struggling instead of supporting him, mocks him, and makes fun of him? I asked the question at the beginning of this point, is patience a tenet of Christian character? And I got to ask the question in another way. How can you delve with this Christian point of character and not understand everybody is going through the same process, a lifelong overcoming? It's not a bad thing to continually pray for somebody, ask God to work with them. It's not a bad thing to turn to God and ask Him to show you where your weaknesses are. That's the point. Patience is a lifelong thing. Have we lived it? Hebrews 6. I'll get to the next point soon. Hebrews 6 and verse number 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have shown towards His name, in that you have ministered unto the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you show the same diligence and full assurance and the hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them that through the faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he made it by himself, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless thee. By multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. That's a great example, obviously. Do we believe we have enough to finish this race? You talk about Abraham. What about Noah? What about Sarah? You're in pretty good company if you qualify, brethren. But the issue is, we have to finish this race. James 5. James 5 in verse number 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of our Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receives the early and the latter rain. Be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of our Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned, and behold, the judge standeth at the door. Taketh, my brethren, the prophets, whom thou hast spoken in the name of the Lord. And this is an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. For we have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord. And the Lord is very pitiful and tender of tender mercy. There is so much we can say about this attribute, obviously. You understand. Our patriarchs, our fathers had it. They had to have. Nobody was granted anything as soon as they got it. And if it came It came through much turmoil and usually patience and long suffering. You think about our lives. To be a first fruit, brethren, there will be obstacles that we have to get through. How will we respond? There'll be things that we have to overcome. How will we respond? Several things stated here. The second tenet I'd like to talk about today is, as I get quickly into it, I would like to cover today the characteristic of a peacemaker. And I put these two together because I believe they're they basically play off each other. This is an attribute which you'll be... This attribute allows you to be a reference as a child of God. Think about Matthew 5. It's in the Beatitudes. As we talk about it, you think about who would not want to be referenced as a child of God. Matthew 5, verses 9, the second point. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called the children of God. It means, simply, those who love peace and work on to pacify a situation. Would you consider yourself a peacemaker? How many of us are just the opposite of that of orientation? How many of times do we see individuals intentionally cause conflict and cause division? How many times do we forget God's instruction? We either forget our ultimate goal or we look to edify the stances and justify our actions. How many people really, truly seek? That's the question. How many people seek peace today? As you turn on the news today, we saw one country attacking another country. In the world we live in at this point in time, peace isn't mentioned. Nobody looks for peace. So why be a peacemaker? Most of the time, actually, it's seen as a derogatory comment. It's seen as a weakness. You got to wonder about that concept. People see peacemakers as weak. Psalms 29. I'll get into this verse quick. This point quickly. Psalm 29 and verse number 11. And the Lord will give strength unto his people, and the Lord will bless his people with peace. Peace meaning completeness, soundness, complete welfare, healthy welfare. You think about, have you ever thought about peace as a blessing? Everything's around you are friendly. Everything around you is copacetic and wants to work with you. How often does that happen? Psalm 34, verse number 11. Psalm 34 and verse 11. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you to fear the Lord. What man is it that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Psalm 34, verse 13. Keep thy tongue from thy evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil, and do good. Seek peace, and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and unto their ears are open unto their cry. And the face of the Lord is against them that do evil and cut off the remembrance of them that do evil from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of their trouble. Seek peace. God is looking for that type of orientation. It should be everybody's goal to be called a child of God. Ephesians 2 in verse number 2. Ephesians 2 and verse 2. Wherefore, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and unto them that worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also ye had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the lust or of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. I want to drop to verse number 10. For this we are, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto, that means simply to do good works, which God hath before ordained them that work should walk in them. We haven't been placed on this earth to be divisive. We haven't been placed to cause conflict. That's the issue. You were called with the mindset of Christ. You not to be boastful, looking to be exalted yourself. That's the mindset of Satan the devil. You can read it in Isaiah. He's pretty clear. He had the desire to be as the Most High, Isaiah 14. Children of disobedience have different desires from the children of God. We are not to be seduced by power. We are not to be seduced by money or the love of money or an arrogant government within the body. Are the lust of this world? Are we? That's the question. How many times has Satan said that's okay and people have done it? We're looking at a generation of individuals that want basically something quick. They don't want to work for it. How has Satan allowed us to grow as a body? I'm not saying Satan's the one that allows to grow. I'm saying the influences Satan's throwing out there. He showed you quite a contrast from what you've learned, the foundation you've learned from God. Everything's quick and easy. Sometimes God says, that's not true. You got to work for it. You got to ask the question as we go through our lives, as we are looking at the time constraint, as we go through our lives. Will we be the individuals that are stand before God at judgment saying that I did the best I could to develop peace with my brother? Or will we be the individuals that didn't work at all? Will we stand before him with the arrogance that everybody needed to be in line? It's just a simple question. The contrast of Satan the devil concerning the children of disobedience from the children of God. These things we shouldn't be dwelling on. These things we shouldn't be dwelling upon are these physical items that God tells us are temporary. Psalm 37. I'll get this moving quicker. Psalm 37 and verse number 32. And the wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. And the Lord will not leave him in the hand or condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in thy great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passeth away, and lo, he was not. And yea, I sought him, and he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright. For the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. When the wicked falls, what's the reward? The wicked individual will not be happy until they tear down all of what the righteous are trying to accomplish. When you face the final judgment, how far will you get knowing that you've caused conflict in the relationship? How far will you get when it is revealed that the one who didn't look to serve at all, you were the one that didn't look to serve at all, but since you were part of a body, you wanted to be served? There's several things that you can say about it. Peacemaker is a pretty interesting individual, because a peacemaker is somebody that is going to sometimes go contrary to popular belief. Matthew 11, in verse number 28. Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy, but my burden is light. This is this is a requirement. We're talking about a tenant of physical life. We're talking about a peacemaker. You're told and instructed about a tumultuous time that's going to take place in Matthew 24. In that tumultuous time, we're talking about they're going to seek to end your life. They're going to seek to destroy. That's not a time of peace. That's the time we got to look at and understand. This is the time we live in. This is the time frame we live in. I brought these two points up today. Patience and peace. And you are instructed to live within those points. Of maturity, becoming a mature individual and learning the way of a peacemaker. As we look at these words, we got to ask ourselves the question, how are we doing? Think about our lives in a different fashion. Are we causing, are we the ones that cause confusion? Are we the ones that cause conflict? 1 Corinthians 14. I'm rushing this a bit. I apologize. But 1 Corinthians 14 and verse number 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but peace, as in all saints, as all churches of the saints. Romans 14. I want to get these two verses in before I bring this to a close. Romans 14 and verse number 17. Romans 14 and verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he that hath these things serveth Christ, is acceptable to God, and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and the things wherewith one may edify another. How many times do we find ourselves involved with a contrary attitude? How many times do we find ourselves in a conversation with people that are only look for self-edification? God calls this vain babbling. It's not an attribute of peace. Today I bring up two things. Patience is a building block for experience. Easy enough. If you're to pass this test, you're to not be vulnerable and form a faulty block, you're to learn it. If you're not a peacemaker, you're contrary to peacemaking. That's not acceptable to God. These two characteristics are well put together for grouping. They both require an individual to be mature. They both require an individual to be in control. Someone that lacks it, self-confidence, isn't in control. Someone that's lacking experience is not in control. You master these traits, you're on a path of overcoming. You got to ask yourself the question, we can add these two traits, our tenets, to our desired personas. You got to ask yourself the question, are you willing to work for it? And in your way there, as you work for it, have you done it properly where you've not caused the ripple and offended on the way? These attributes actually play off each other. But it's a very rare person that doesn't cause ripples and doesn't offend. And we need to understand to be a fruit, to live within the fruits of the Spirit, and we need to understand to follow God's laws. We need to become these individuals and overcome these deficiencies in our lives.